This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Who owns you? Did you ever give that question serious thought? We're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, we pray that you will speak to us through your holy word this day. As we deliberate that question, who owns us? We know, O God, that there are many people, there are many forces, there are many temptations that can own us. But let the Lord Jesus explain to us the glory of a life that is possessed by him. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, beginning with verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Where I knew, where I
friends in Christ. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Now, what does it mean when we imply that we are not our own? Well, those of you who probably are pretty good church people and have heard a multitude of sermons say, "Oh, I can tell you that." That means that Jesus suffered and died for our sins, and when we trust him, he grants us the forgiveness of our sin and a promise that we are his forever and ever. So in that sense of the word, we really belong to him. But the question is, what does it mean in everyday life? And I believe today that the text that I have read for you really gives us a mighty insight into the meaning of this question: what does it mean to be owned by God? There is no question that Jesus had temptations not only out in the wilderness, but on his daily walk of life. And forever we must remember that he is a divine Son of God. But we also must remember, because that's a part of the redemptive story, that Jesus was true man. I believe that he had quite a temptation when he was staying down there in Capernaum. You'll remember that in Nazareth, it was kind of rough. That was his hometown. And they liked him, and they respected him, and they knew him well as Joseph's son. But on that day when Jesus went into the synagogue and told them clearly that he was the Son of God, that he was the promised Messiah, those people got very angry, and in essence, they tried to kick him right out of town. Jesus did not argue with them. Jesus did not fight with them. He said to his disciples, those that he had at that time, "Come on, we're going down to Capernaum." And we got to Capernaum, he found an entirely different group of people. They were kind. They were loving. They were willing to listen to the fact that he might be the Savior of the world. They rejoiced to know that they could bring their sick to him and he would heal them. And they loved to listen to him preach. It was a cozy little setting. So why not stay right there? The people would continue to like him. They would hold him up as one great person who had brought so many blessings to their lives. And they would fill the synagogue to capacity until they had to construct a bigger one. That was a real temptation. I know that's a temptation for preachers. And I often wondered at the end of my ministry if I had done right. To spend 43 years in one place, it was so comfortable. It was a preacher's paradise. I loved those people, and I believe that most of them loved me. We had a good time together. We watched the Holy Spirit work, and we saw a congregation built. So I have to let bygones be bygones and say, well, I trust that that is where the Lord wanted me. But I'm not the Lord Jesus. And he had a specific purpose for coming. And he was focused on that. So when Peter brought the individuals out there to the place where Jesus was praying, and Peter knew exactly where he had gone, they wanted him to come back and continue to do his ministry there. And it was at that time that Jesus said, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also." Then he leaves this word with us: "That is why I have come." Notice he's got a clear focus of why he's on this earth, what his ministry is. "I have come to move about and to tell the people there that I am the Messiah, that I am the Savior of the world." And now he had to pick up what possessions he had and take his disciples along with him, those whom he was training, and go on to the next place. He didn't know what that was going to be like. He didn't know if they were going to receive him as they had at Capernaum, or whether they were going to throw him out as they wanted to do in Nazareth. But it was his mission. That's why God had sent him. He could not settle down in one place. There's a real lesson for us here. The lesson is very, very clear that we must know what God's mission is for us, and that mission is to tell people about Jesus Christ, to confront them with the Savior, and also that we are to do it in love and compassion. There were many other important missions that the church had, but that is always the focal one. And forever we must remember that, because it is so easy for us to get mixed up in what our whole purpose in life is all about. And when I take a look at the church, I mean the church broad, I wonder if we have not lost some of our focus. Because I hear time and time again sermons that never mention the way of salvation, that never mention that Jesus is the Savior of the world. But they come through with some very, very fine programs talking about it. Let me illustrate this thing. Last week, early in the afternoon, I had a conversation with a very leading businessman. And that conversation dwelt on the subject of the way of salvation. I had the opportunity to lay before him that great truth that he was the Savior of the world, Jesus was. And I could ask that man, what is your relationship with the Lord Jesus? And all of the rest. We had a good time. And when I left him, I felt good. I had presented Christ as a Savior for him. And I could leave the rest in the hands of the Holy Spirit and come back perhaps in a few days again. As I entered into our church, where I have a little office, one of my good boys from years gone by, a young man that I had in my confirmation class, said to me, if you have time, go into Bethel Hall. There's a real interesting project that is going on there. They're bagging food, little bags of food. I don't think they weighed probably much more than a pound if they weighed that. And they were ingredients of rice and all the other things that were put into this little bag. And one of those bags would give a hungry child in this world six meals. Our people were there. There was a goodly number of them, and they were sorting these bags out and putting them in these little plastic bags, and off they would go, this group, to Haiti. The director who had come to sell us on this project was standing there. I was introduced to him, and during the course of our conversation, he said, I want you to know this is an evangelical ministry. We make sure that every place where this food comes, the children are told that Jesus sent it. He said, we really use the missionaries to make that impact on them, and then we feed them. I watched some more. I listened to what he had to say. Our pastor came along, and he was excited about it too. And a man began to talk about a project where we could, I believe, feed 3 million children on a regular basis, and how we would set that project up in our area and probably add some other churches to go along with us on it. And what a delight when we sat down at night and knew that we'd had a little bit to do with this starvation problem that is found in our world. So we talked, and I sat there watching our people again. A few nights before that, I had had a wedding, something that I seldom have anymore. And the young groom handed me a crisp $100 bill. I looked at it and I thought, boy, yesterday or days gone by, the fee was not that much. The gift that was given to you was probably $20, or maybe once in a while $50. But here was a $100 bill. At first, I wanted to give it back to the young man because I felt that he needed it more than I did. But for some reason, I didn't. I put it into my wallet. And I thought, sometime, I believe I'm going to have an opportunity to give that $100 to a good cause. And so when I sat there, I began to think of my $100 in the billfold. And I pulled it out, and I walked over to our local director, and I said, this will help pay for the ingredients that you're bagging today. And he looked at me, big eyes, and he said, thank you. Thank you very much. And that night when I ate my own dinner, it was just a little more tasty. Because the director had said to me as I was leaving the room, you know what you've done? With that gift, you have fed 600 children tonight. Now that is the work of the Lord Jesus. He did tell us to feed the hungry. And I'm sure he was very concerned about the children. But lest we get all confused and our focus gets somewhere turned around, let it be known that that is a secondary purpose. The purpose is to tell those little children that Jesus loves them and he's going to feed them. Now, I will agree that they are very closely related, because if the children are not going to eat, they're going to die, and then there will be no one to tell about Jesus. But if we simply give them the food and don't tell them about Jesus, then any other organization could do the same. My point is, we must stay focused on everything we do in the Christian church and in the individual Christian life. It must center first in Jesus coming to this world to be our Savior, to make us God's forever, to let us know that we belong to God. We can never lose that focus. And then after we have that, all these other good things can come, and they should come. And I do not do anything but encourage you to become involved in these things that lift burdens. But when you're lifting the burden, when the Holy Spirit is using you, always, always remember, friend, that first you point the person to Jesus. The second thing in this text that I'd like to bring before you, because he's training us to be disciples, as he was his disciples in the first century, is this. Very early in the morning, Mark writes, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. He had to get away from the crowd. He had to be alone with his Father. Now, true, Jesus is the Son of God, but he is also the Son of Man. And he found that it was necessary for him to have a quiet time. For if he did not, he ran the danger of exhausting his energies and losing his perspective, that he could get out of focus. What a terrible thing that would be. If Jesus was going to feed others spiritually, he had to be fed by his Father. Remember that, will you? Let me tell you, I've told you about one of my boys who told me to go into Bethel Hall and see this food package. I have a lot of favorite people. And this gal was in a meeting the other night, and I was in the meeting, and stood up and said very fluently, you know, we ought to realize that we go to church not to receive something, but to give something. I was taken back. I was sorry about this. This was not in character for this marvelous, committed Christian lady. So the next day I called her and I said, You know how much I love you, don't you? And you know we've been good friends, so I'm not here to scold you. But I don't think you really mean that. Sure, we come to church to sing praises to God, whether they're the praise songs or the traditional hymns. Sure, we come to church to leave our offering, that it may be used for the furtherance of God's kingdom. But I said to her, you know, I come to church primarily, 95%, I come to have my poor old soul fed on the Word of God, fed to be corrected by His law, fed to be assured by His gospel that I have a Savior, and it won't be very long before I will see Him face to face. That's a marvelous feeling. It's there I go to get repaired in order that I can go out and share this glorious gospel with somebody else. And so I've got to come to church to be fed. The pulpit has got to feed me. That's why it was a tremendously important thing for me to be as well prepared as I could be when I stood in that pulpit on Sunday morning. Let no one go home but what they could hear, the story of God's love in Jesus Christ. Let us have our secondary focuses, but always may they come out of the primary focus. Jesus saw that. I learned that from Jesus. He had to go alone. And a part of that going alone might be hundreds of people around us as we sit in our beautiful sanctuaries. But we need a time alone. We need a time in our home where we can take that Word of God and listen to Him, and then to pray. Make our request known. Tell Him how we have it, what's bothering, what's necessary in our lives, and let Him speak to us. That's what Jesus is telling us here. And if He had to go out and be prepared for the future by His Father, certainly we need to be alone with our God too. Now, after we have prayed, we get up and go at it. We can never let our prayers and our time for prayer be an excuse for not doing God's work. And there's a temptation of that too, especially if we get overly pious. You cannot do much without prayer. But prayer prepares us for the task God has given us to do. Listen to Jesus. After He had prayed, He got up and He said, "Now let's get going, Peter. We've got other villages to visit. There are other people who need us." You and I know what God wants us to do. He'll give us strength to do it in our own way. Whatever work you do, be focused on this, that when God gives me the opportunity, I will tell the story of Jesus. I don't have to be obnoxious. I don't have to in any way be sort of a radical, negative guy. I just tell the story of Jesus. That's what He wants us for. So there were 12 men, and they were being trained. They were being trained to be focused, and they were being trained to take time out to be with their Father. We got the same training today from the word of that Savior who first voiced it to His disciples. Spend time with Him, and you'll know who owns your soul. Amen. Father in heaven, teach us what it is to be a disciple. Help us to be focused in our Christian faith. Never let us be confused that Jesus Christ has to be presented first, and then we can show the world how he can change a life. But let us never be so vain as to say, I witnessed by the way I live. For how terrible a witness that would often be. Forgive us, Lord. Make us vocal. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Many of our listeners are not aware that Christian Crusaders must purchase its own radio airtime in order to broadcast our worship service each and every week. Please consider, if you're in a position to do so, sending a financial gift. In this way, you become a partner in carrying out our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive him. God's blessings to each of you. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website has many spiritual tools, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us on the web at christiancrusaders.org. Printed copies, cassette tapes, and CDs of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.